Dissing OPEC.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. OPEC is a cartel, and cartels have a lot of power. Their end game is to set prices. But the economy has decimated the demand for oil worldwide, and therefore OPEC's influence. This morning, a barrel is going for 2003 prices, around $37. So the question we're asking is, can a dollar a gallon gas be far off? Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
When you finish pumping your gas and tear off the receipt, you're essentially getting a personal report on all the oil that's backing up in storage tanks in Oklahoma. That's where the benchmark price of crude is set. OPEC can talk about cutting output all at once, but oil analyst and trader Stephen Shork says as long as we're burning less fuel, there's really nothing the oil cartel can do about it.
This is not a supply issue. OPEC only controls one side of the equation, supply. OPEC just has to sit and twiddle its thumbs and wait for the consuming countries to come out of the recession.
He says prices keep falling in spite of the cartel's vow to make further cuts because traders don't believe it.
They're not even abiding by their old quotas, let alone their newly announced quotas. And this is the game the market is playing now with OPEC. It's a massive game of financial chicken.
Or put another way, at the moment, oil traders are convinced the deteriorating economy has OPEC over a barrel. Shork says if things don't improve, crude could even drop as low as $20 as early as summer. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
The Marketplace Santa Claus tracking system indicates that Santa has set his route for tonight and Wall Street is not on it. He knows, so no Santa rally this year. The markets close at 1 Eastern. They're mostly lower in Asia by the close, and they're down in Europe as well. The Dow lost another 100 yesterday to 84.19. The NASDAQ and the S&P were down close to 1%. Most prices are falling in this economy, except this one, the price of cocoa. We're joined by our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, how expensive is it now?
It's at its highest in London for 23 years. My favorite quote of the morning, cocoa is on fire, says one analyst. There hasn't been this much excitement in the London cocoa market, Scott, for quite a few years since somebody actually tried to corner the cocoa market a few years ago, somebody who was inevitably dubbed Chock Finger by the press. So it's looking very buoyant, not to say frothy here in London.
Okay, so why is it going up?
Part of it is to do with the fact that there's a huge market in London and cocoa is priced unusually here in London, not in US dollars, but in British pounds, and the British pound is weak. But beyond that, the bigger story is supply and demand. Supplies are pretty tight. Cocoa production in Africa has been falling. Heavy rainfall, apparently, in West Africa has cut output. There's been an increased incidence of the dreaded black pod disease. And, of course, there's been concern, too, about political unrest and upheaval in West Africa, which has raised fears about future supply.
And what about the demand for cocoa?
Well, this is interesting, too. Demand is holding up, unlike many other commodities in a downturn. And it comes down to this whole point about comfort food. People need their steaming hot mug of cocoa at bedtime, or they need their chocolate bars to keep their spirits up throughout the misery of the recession.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Some people buy chocolate. Other people buy guitars at auction. Somebody just paid $100,000 for one of Kurt Cobain's guitars. It's a sweet Fender Mustang with a sunburst finish. I should also mention that Cobain smashed it on stage and it's held together by duct tape.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Paramount Pictures, presenting The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, starring Brad Pitt and Cate Blanchett, directed by David Fincher, in theaters Christmas Day. And by Gather.com. If it's happening in the world, it's being discussed on Gather. People are talking about the economy at Gather.com.
Taxpayers expect some changes in the business world after all this economic fallout. But company executives may have different ideas. Commentator Robert Reich sees a giant conflict of interest brewing.
The public believes the bailouts of Wall Street and the Big Three will permanently change these industries, but I doubt that's what industry insiders want. Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein, for example, said recently the firm's business strategy doesn't need to change. What? Goldman got $10 billion of taxpayer money precisely because it and other big banks were so over-leveraged they threatened the whole financial system. I can understand why Blankfein doesn't want to change. He took home $54 million last year. But the public expects real reform for its $10 billion at Goldman and tens of billions more in other banks. The big three have agreed to become far more fuel efficient as a condition for their bailout, but they promised this before, during the oil crisis of the 1970s. They never delivered then because their biggest profits were in gas guzzlers that consumers wanted to buy as soon as the first oil crisis was over. Will history repeat itself? Now that gas prices are half what they were 6 months ago, consumers who can afford it are suddenly less interested in fuel efficiency. They're buying fewer hybrids and showing renewed interest in SUVs. So why should we think Detroit will revolutionize itself? Now, I'm not so cynical as to accuse anyone of bad faith. It's just that both Wall Street and Detroit earned big bucks from their old strategies before the bottom fell out of the economy. So it's natural to think they'd view the bailouts as ways to hold on until the economy rebounds. They see their problem as cyclical, not structural. But the bailouts have been sold to the public as means toward fundamental change in finance and autos. This means if the bailouts are to do what they're supposed to do, stop Wall Street from wild risk-taking with piles of borrowed money, and push the auto industry into making fundamentally new products, Washington will not only have to set strict standards, but watch over these industries even when the recession is over.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. His latest book is called Super Capitalism. Share your opinion with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in. And from all of us at Marketplace, happy holidays.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.